Atheist Nomads, episode 302, Jihad and Crusades.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to the episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello, barely.
And we have Aaron.
Hi.
And Rocco.
Kylie is wearing a Kentucky Derby hat.
Well, she's wearing a dollar store hat that has some cheap plastic flowers glued to it. Actually, most of the flowers have fallen off now.
And,
but it's still cute.
Yep, and she's entertained. So,
Jesus, she's cute.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
As Caleb can attest to.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so this week I do have to do a disclaimer that the views expressed in this episode absolutely do not in any way represent the views of my employer, which is part of why I am looking for a new job.
Mm-hmm.
I am still employed. I am.
Oh, that's good.
Good, but if I make a statement like this, it will protect me under policy. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, they recently issued a social media policy, and this is not social media, but it does get posted to social media. And yeah, okay, so yeah, my views do not represent my employer.
Right. Yeah, I don't ever want to work for a company that makes me have to censor myself on.
It's amazing. You don't want, nobody wants to.
Right.
But. Uh-huh. And then your employer that you're working for gets purchased by.
Well.
Yeah. By the monster.
No, Kylie, this one. This
actually, if
nice
we want to
one.
Go with the views of a lot of Protestants, when your employer gets bought out by
the beast
from Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it was already owned by.
It was
beast,
already
but,
Catholic. Come
but
on,
it
dude.
Was more insulated just due to the way corporate structure was.
Right.
Now there is no insulation.
Right.
But anyway, on my birthday, we saw a sticker on a car that read, "I'll see your jihad and raise you a crusade." This was one of several stickers.
Oh, man. Troubling stickers?
All of them?
Yeah. It would seem to be.
It was pretty clear that this person was a combat veteran from the Iraq War who has not done a very good job of adjusting back to civilian life.
Yeah.
Here.
Maybe they have PTSD and can't get a job or something.
It was a pretty nice truck.
No, I think the truck was all right. I think it was more the mentality of the war is still going. We need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Defeat the enemy at all costs. Mm-hmm. Can't take away my guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just saw a sign on the way back from the coast to Portland. And the sign was a big billboard on a farm on the side of the road or whatever. And it said, "Legislators want to take away our guns."
Yep. Yeah, if you have an AK-47 or an AK-15.
With the state of Oregon in the background, I was like, okay, cool. I turned to Christine. I was like, did you know that legislators are trying to take away our guns?
Did you know?
Did you know?
It's like when we were driving through California through the empty farm fields and there were all these billboards posted that said, legislatures are trying to take away your, you know, this or this farm is empty because of so-and-so. And
yeah,
it was like, no, because if you look past this 1 acre,
right.
It's full and you're only have the one thing barren to further your political agenda because you want all the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almonds.
For all the almonds, yeah.
So.
And pistachios and avocados, which I miss dearly.
I didn't let those stickers ruin the good evening that I was having. It was my birthday.
It was an amazing
steak.
Good.
Like, easily top five best steaks I've ever had.
Longhorn Steakhouse.
Oh, Longhorn Steakhouse. Cool.
And, which really surprised me because, I mean, it's
a chain restaurant.
But
they can do stuff pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, and the shrimp scampi I had was amazing.
Ooh.
There's a hat in my face.
Good.
Yeah.
And then you went to the zoo. Both of you, birthdays are, what, a day apart?
Day apart.
Yeah.
The 28th and the 29th.
Very cool.
So birthday weekend is a thing.
Yeah.
And if it's in the middle of the week, it's birthday week.
Right.
And I mean, every once in a while, depending on how much cash is flowing, it's birthday month.
Oh, I was going to say, what about birthday month?
Well, it used to be birthday 2 weeks because I used to go to Idaho Falls to visit my mom and dad.
Yeah.
The weekend before and then have big birthday weekend the weekend after.
Right.
Tuesday trips.
Hello, I'm Kylie.
She's talking into the microphone, like proper.
Good job.
You want to talk into the microphone?
Now she's getting shy. So.
So anyway, after seeing the birthdays were awesome, but after seeing that sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Mini golf.
So
much fun. Putt,
one.
Everybody. Oh. I won by 1 point.
Nice.
Worth it.
So after seeing that sticker, I didn't let it get me down.
Good.
And once the disgust faded, I realized, oh, there's opportunities for dusting off the degree here.
Let's do it.
So what do jihad and crusade mean? And which one is worse?
I would say both of them are pretty bad.
But,
I mean, it depends on what religion you are, right?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
And also what era you're in.
I think they're pretty much the same.
Actually, they're conceptually quite different.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to learn it.
So
it's time to edumacate.
Jihad is a holy struggle in defense of Islam. The concept requires that it be a defensive war, and it has to be to protect the faith.
Mm.
So,
what jihad is?
Yes.
Okay, jihad is defensive. Crusades are offensive.
Yes.
Okay.
Good examples of a jihad that fits the classical definition would be the Muslim kingdoms fighting against the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
They were defending themselves from Christian armies that were taking their land and slaughtering their people.
Right.
And the Afghan Mujahideen, who were defending against the Soviet Union's invasion and occupation in the 1980s.
Watchmen. Relevant.
There's going to be a show on HBO.
Oh.
Even more relevant.
But after the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan, some of those fighters did not give up their jihad. And they switched from viewing it as being defending a Muslim kingdom or country from atheist Soviet armies to fighting against Western influence in the Arab and Muslim world, which they began to view as a direct attack on Islam.
Well, wasn't it?
No. People into the 80s, people across the entire world were modernizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people in the Middle East stopped wearing, women stopped wearing head coverings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They started wearing jeans.
1976 or whatever that
Afghanistan
famous
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Women started to get rights.
Yeah.
And extremists figured out that is anti-Islam. And even outside of the extremists, there has been a widespread anti-Western backlash across the Middle East. Jordan in the 1980s, you wouldn't see very many head coverings. And now every woman has head coverings,
right,
and long sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And by head coverings, like, faces and hands are the only things that are exposed.
For some. In some places.
Right? Jordan specifically.
Oh, Jordan.
That is the norm
in Jordan.
It varies from country to country as to what you would expect to see. There are, you know, in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Slit for the eyes is about all you're usually going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies. So now Al-Qaeda viewed their terrorist attacks as part of this jihad because they were, in their view, defending Islam from Western threats, trying to destroy Islam. Now, a crusade is a Christian holy war. The first crusade was theoretically supposed to defend pilgrimage routes in the Levant. That area is Israel, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon. But when the armies arrived, they slaughtered Muslims, Jews, Christians, anybody brown that was in the area, and indiscriminately slaughtered them. They began to establish crusader kingdoms and subjugate anybody who didn't follow the Roman Church. So Orthodox Christians weren't good enough. Muslims obviously were bad. And they all suffered under that time period. This was followed up with three other crusades that ended with Muslim kingdoms eventually regaining control of the region. And the mostly French Latin kingdoms that had been established vanishing. But the crusades continued. And there was the Reconquista. This was the Holy Crusade to aid the Christian kingdoms in what is now Spain and Portugal in driving out the Muslim emirate that was ruling most of the Iberian Peninsula. The same year the Reconquista was completed, Columbus arrived in the Caribbean, and those same conquistadors continued their Holy Crusade, crossing the ocean on a crusade to convert and conquer the heathens they found in the New World.
And take their gold and women and
rape and pillage.
Rape and pillage.
You know, just the age-old rape and pillage. It's a tale as old as time.
Oh, yeah. German crusaders, namely the Teutonic Knights, were sent to the east for the Slavic Crusades.
Not to be confused with tectonic plates.
And this was to convert and conquer the heathen Slavs in the land between the Holy Roman Empire and Russia.
Oh.
This resulted in the establishment of Crusader states, and eventually it led to the establishment of the Kingdom of Prussia, which ended up becoming the dominant power in Germany. Since then, Protestants have taken the term, and they have used it to mean evangelism, as in an evangelistic crusade or campus crusade for Christ.
That's just that's just a tagline.
Campus
right?
crusade for Christ.
No, that's the name of an organization.
Right. But the alliteration was, just used the word because it, not because that they mean to actually crusade, but because it sounds cool.
They mean crusade in the modern Protestant, let me rephrase that. The pre-September 11 Protestant view of crusade is evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meaning the same thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have to say that I am glad that Christians have taken and watered down the concept, but that hasn't been universal. George W. Bush publicly and repeatedly described the war on terror as a crusade. And the pickup I saw, the sticker also had an Iraq war sticker, and it would appear that this soldier got the message loud and clear. And so did a lot of Muslims. This ended up only being confirmed when Christian armies from the West invaded Iraq as part of this crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy and needed to go, but this choice in rhetoric provided evidence to some that the extremists who had already started the jihad were right.
Right. We validated their fears by invading.
And even though these were predominantly secular countries with armies that weren't necessarily Christian,
mm-hmm.
But then when you factor in the way evangelicals have been taking over the military as well,
because they're poor.
Oh man, I hear
it's bad in some places. Like the Air Force apparently is really bad,
especially the Air Force Academy.
Did you have any of that?
No, but
Navy, right?
Yeah, but you know,
when you're surrounded by seamen, you don't really turn to Christ.
But it could be a good way of being like, oh, I gotta go and take this break now for my worshiping time.
So after
that's how I picked up cigarettes for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Before I got kicked out.
Well, nobody goes into the army, especially, and comes out without being addicted to nicotine.
That's the only way you get a break.
So after Saddam Hussein had been overthrown, Al-Qaeda in Iraq formed to fight against the U.S. and coalition troops, as well as the government that was backed by these crusader armies. This was all part of a jihad. And
well, when you put it like that, it almost sounds sensible.
From their perspective, it is sensible.
Yeah.
From our perspective, it was a bunch of people who didn't realize that we were trying to help them find democracy.
So, yeah, what I don't understand is that, let's see here. So, in 2001,
mm-hmm.
I was 16 years old. And I saw through the bullshit clearly from day one.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that there was cultural misunderstanding here that was not going to get resolved, that this is only going to get worse. It did. It got prolonged. I doubted everything our U.S. government said because it all sounded way too skewed. It was. Why did everybody else fall for it?
As a general rule of thumb, bullshit rhetoric like this, like calling a terrorist attack a jihad.
Yeah.
Which Al-Qaeda called it a jihad. And then they made a terrorist attack. That.
Right.
That created the perfect opportunity for not just conservatives who were ideologically already ready for something like that, but most moderates to go along with it.
People were freaked out in 2001. I mean, yeah. After 9/11, people freaked out because they were like, I never thought that the U.S. could get
attack
like this. So it freaked people out. I mean,
I guess I can understand being freaked out, but the bullshit that continued for 10 more years.
Mm-hmm.
By the 10th anniversary of 9/11, yeah. I was shocked at how much that rhetoric was still like being pumped up.
I would say maybe that's also because people were like, well, we're in it. And we don't want to seem like
can't
we made
waver.
A mistake.
Yep.
So now we're just going to power through this, even though, because the last war we were in also was a mistake.
We weren't in a war at that point.
Well, right.
Vietnam.
In Vietnam.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. Like, it was Vietnam, uh-huh. And then it was like, mistake.
So
everybody's dying. We should pull ourselves out.
That brings up another question. How is the people who grew up with Vietnam turn a blind eye to the same thing happening?
Because of the terrorist attack.
Because of the terrorist attack, U.S. soil was attacked for the first time since
the
depending
Japanese
on
balloon
your
bomb.
Okay,
I love
actually,
that bomb.
Yeah. But mainland U.S.
I don't love that bomb. Sorry. I was just, yeah. That story is just hilarious.
Most people don't think of that because that was after the war that, or right. Was there one during the,
it was like towards the end of the war. I don't remember.
But generally, people think of it, most people ignore Pancho Villa and his raids into the U.S. That was intentionally to try to get the U.S. to enter the Mexican Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Most people look at...
We don't want to talk about Mexico now, do we?
I was going to say, we're bordered by two countries. Either one could, like...
Well, and if you ask some Canadians, they successfully invaded the U.S. and mm-hmm. burned down our capital.
Right. Yep.
Why we have a White House.
That was awesome.
Granted,
right.
That was a British colony, and it was a British army with English-born soldiers.
Still hilarious.
Right. So I think, in my opinion...
For some reason, I was not affected by the terrorist attack on U.S. soil.
You were already about as far left as possible.
Yeah.
The furthest extreme away
and
from...
Then, geographically, I was so far away that I wasn't affected because I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm. And you hadn't been to those places.
Hadn't been to those places. I knew it affected a lot of people, but mm-hmm. it didn't seem on par with other atrocities that were being committed elsewhere in the world. So to me, it just seemed like, okay, guys.
And that's the very...
Get over it. But
that's a very atypical viewpoint.
I'm atypical.
The vast majority of people, U.S. was attacked.
I had no empathy.
Yeah.
Of all the things in my life, why did that cause me to have no empathetic reaction when...
Because you were a teenager and you were 16.
I can't look at a dead squirrel on the road without almost crying.
Well, but I would say you were 16, you're in high school, and you're like, how is this affecting my daily life? It's not. Because I still have to get up and I still have to go to high school and I still have to deal
it's
with
true.
This bullshit.
And I
just
want
to get through this shit.
I saw some other kids who were using it as an excuse to get out of school.
Fuck mm-hmm. yeah, I got out of school.
Well, yeah, they were crying.
I got to continue the apocalyptic survival camp.
I never thought that they were crying because they were actually concerned for people in New York. I thought they were crying so they could go home.
Well, I would say that there might have been that.
There
and
might
then
have been
there,
some mix there that I just
and then,
missed.
Right. And then there might have been people. I know that I really had a lot of anxiety about it. I was like, what the fuck? Also, though, that summer, a school friend passed away. So there was a lot of emotions happening in my world. Also,
Your whole country's changing and you lose a friend.
It was my senior year and it was just,
True.
And now, like in my case, I had...
You're like, just well, this is the end of the world. This is what we're training for. That's
there
what
was some.
Thinking.
There was some of that. There was also the fact that I had 2 months before been on had a tour of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So I'd been one of the places that
was the
hit.
Other thing is I didn't believe anything until I heard about the Pentagon one.
Yeah. And I had been on one of the flights that ended up being used.
Right.
And also had a brother in Special Forces who I figured was probably headed off to war. He wasn't. He didn't get to Afghanistan until 2007. He was busy with his normal area that he was operating in. And also, as when you're a 17-year-old male,
right,
and somebody invades or attacks the U.S.,
mm-hmm,
first thought is, am I going to get drafted?
Oh, yeah.
Am I going to war?
Right.
Yeah, no. I didn't, but...
Right.
Yeah. No. Now... But the same kind of stuff all was happening in the Middle East when U.S. forces invaded Iraq. Everybody understood why the U.S. invaded Afghanistan.
Oh, God, I remember that.
And nobody viewed that as a crusade.
No, that was retaliation.
That was retaliation. Mm-hmm. That was perfectly understandable revenge.
And then I remember the Iraq thing, and nobody really catching on for at least a couple of months.
Damn, where W, you were
NPR and a couple of the alternative, you know, leftist sites started saying, wait a second, we invaded Iraq for what reason? What was brought up was the fact that we just took out a man who we had given a lot of money to. Mm-hmm. 20 years before, and were apparently setting other people up to do the exact same thing that we had done 20 years before.
Yep.
So they were seeing history repeat itself.
Yep. And there was also the fact that Saddam Hussein was actively fighting Islamic extremists in his country. He was preventing anything from Al-Qaeda in Iraq from
But developing. It was also... had that whole genocide thing.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, there was not great
stuff. Saddam Hussein was a horrible guy.
Yeah, okay.
He needed to go.
But in this situation, yeah.
The
but
timing and the
him
pretext
out and
for
not
it.
Replacing him with mm-hmm. somebody better
right.
made it worse.
Right. And
which is our specialty as
and
US.
Calling it a crusade.
Right.
The proper response to a Muslim to crusade is jihad.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of Christians who think the proper response to a jihad is a crusade. Well, if you look at history, the crusade comes first.
Right.
And it's, you know, which one's worse? If you look at the traditional viewpoint, it is traditionally jihads were nowhere near as bad as crusades. In the modern usage, jihads are more likely to result in terrorism. And
well,
crusades are more likely to result in invading countries.
Yeah, there's the blatant, I'm moving in with my army, you know, pieces on the table kind of motion. And then there's guerrilla warfare, which
mm-hmm.
we've never done well with.
No.
And that's what this mostly has been.
Mm-hmm.
And when you move an army into an area and expect to face another army... And then you get nothing but guerrilla warfare. Yeah, that's going to
mm-hmm.
that's gonna prolong everything. It's going to mess up your soldiers. Ugh.
It's bad.
All right.
It's bad. That was depressing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm depressed.
Yep. And this will be relevant for the first news story.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I do want to remind you that we are supported by listeners just like you. And if you'd like to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. And
I used to think that viewers like you was an actual corporation.
From viewers like you.
And that they were they just bankrolled all of PBS.
Yeah.
And
like, wow.
And we do like getting one-time lump sum donations as well.
We love that.
Right,
we
now,
love everything.
Right now we have a new interface that we're using that's going to allow adding in a soundboard and doing some other really cool things.
Boop, boop,
and
boop.
Aaron, what are you you're talking into a new microphone.
I have a new microphone.
So
and
sexy.
Headphones.
The headphones are much more comfortable
they
than the
are
cheap
much,
crap.
They are much more comfortable.
I don't use mine.
I concur, which is bad, Lauren. It's we learned about at the live program. I don't know why it was bad.
Whatever.
It, we It was fine. We actually got some people who were like, who watched Jinx, and they really enjoyed our deviled egg and food talk.
Telling you, a cookbook.
I know.
Coming down the line.
It needs to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do want to thank Danielle for the microphone.
Thank you.
That is awesome. And Vinny from
New York.
Happy
anniversary. We married her a year ago today.
This
is being recorded. May the 4th. What a great day to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I officiated their wedding.
Gave them a Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah. So thank you.
Swear the solemn oath.
Appreciate it.
And Vinny, want to thank you for the new interface and soon to be soundboard.
New soundboard. Wah, 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 wah.
All right, so let's get into the news.
No, Aaron, don't try. Don't.
Whatever. I can until you get a soundboard.
An Iraq War veteran with PTSD was on his way to a Bible study when he saw brown people he thought might be Muslim in the crosswalk.
Yeah, exactly. That's my sentiment, too.
Rather than hitting the brake...
He sped up, didn't he?
He sped up and hit them as fast as he could.
Did they die? He must have been so angry in that moment. I can't even imagine seeing... Going along, having a good day, going to Bible study, and then you see brown people, and you go, oh my God, I need to fucking kill these people.
I don't
know.
Kill the Muslims. I feel like he probably didn't have a good day, and that's probably why he was like, you know what? I had a horrible shit day. You know what? I gotta blame it on these people. And just didn't put the brakes on.
Ugh.
So, he did not kill anyone. 8 people injured, several of whom are still in the hospital. Broken ribs, broken arms, concussions, those kinds of injuries. There were children who were injured. This was a...
Yeah, he hit kids.
This was a family...
Ow, that was my kneecap.
This was a family of South Asian descent.
Oh, no.
They're probably Hindu.
Yeah.
Or not any religion
at all.
Or
not religious. But not Muslim.
Right.
So he's facing 8 counts of attempted murder.
Good.
For something that he didn't even...
Right.
Oh,
well,
God.
Let's hope the judge isn't lenient.
No, that's a complete mental health breakdown. This guy needs to be taken off.
Well, maybe he will have to go into... He can't stand his own trial. Maybe he'll have to go into that.
Maybe we need to set up whitesome delightsome communes where, you know, if people get like enraged at the sight of people darker than a certain shade, that we just send them off to go live in
God
in these compounds. Mm-hmm. We could even call them camps where we concentrate all the violent racists.
There we go.
Just for the bad people, that is.
Just the bad ones. Just the baddies.
I mean, they had to have done something. We can't just generalize and pull people out of
their homes now. But this is obviously somebody with severe mental health issues, and there is... He's a veteran who's a victim of a shitty war.
Yeah.
Right.
And a system that isn't taking care of him.
Yeah.
He is also a racist, horrible asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are separate issues.
Mm-hmm.
Connected, obviously.
Right.
But you need both to result in... ramming your car as fast as possible into a crowd of people because they're brown and might be Muslim.
Right.
And you know what I saw? Huge backlash was this. Well, was see if people don't have guns, they'll still find a way to hurt people. If that man had had a gun, those people wouldn't be in the hospital.
Dead.
They would be dead.
Yep.
So that's a moot point, guys.
Just like John Ernest, who is accused of firing 8 rounds into a San Diego synagogue, killing 1, injuring 3. After firing the 8 rounds, he fled the scene. Still had 50 rounds he hadn't fired yet.
His face is so punchable.
Wait, I gotta look this guy up.
He looks... Well, he's young. He's actually...
What's his name?
I mean, I hate to say this.
John Ernest.
I really hate to say this, but he's not an ugly-looking person. He is very put together. I don't know. I mean, to me, when I looked at his picture, I was like, look at this fucking privileged asshole millennial.
Oh, he really does.
Yeah.
He looks like that, kid that, ooh.
But punchable. But very punchable.
He's got a punchable face.
Well, and then his family came out and was like, nope, this is a terrible, now this is a mark in history and our son, and we don't want to be associated with that at all. And we deeply apologize, and basically announcing that they want nothing to do.
His church, too.
Good.
His church is doing the exact same thing. So there was a 7-page letter published to 8chan under the name John T. Ernest.
This guy should be shooting beer bongs, not people.
That's what I was like. He looks like a frat guy.
And this 7-page letter took credit for the shooting with a lot of anti-Semitic tropes. It included blood libel, blaming Jews for killing Jesus.
Oh, goodness gracious.
A lot of rambling about the white genocide conspiracy theory. And also taking credit for a fire at an Escondido mosque that happened right after the Christchurch shooting.
This is also, wasn't it on the week anniversary or the month anniversary of another synagogue shooting or something like
yeah.
that? And I apologize for not knowing what the time frame was. But
and it was the last day of Passover.
So it was a week, because then that other one, wasn't that at the beginning of Passover?
No, it was a month
Passover
before.
Is on the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar, so it
was
it
a
rotates.
Month? I don't know. Okay. Me, bad at religion stuff. And words.
God damn, she's adorable.
She is really cute.
She's just dragging the hat behind her as
she
goes.
Was wearing it.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, okay, yeah.
College student and athlete studying nursing. So, well, yeah, he looks exactly like that. And it's just... Apparently,
studying
nobody knew.
Nursing?
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
Nobody knew that he was crazy.
Okay, nursing. That actually segues perfectly to our next story.
Segue!
When a 65-year-old nurse and Sunday school teacher in Arkansas was convicted of murdering her husband. The story goes that she kept finding porn that he was hiding. And he had a shed that he called his man cave.
Hmm. Do we know what kind of porn?
No. But stuff that an old man's watching that you can... That's stashable.
Well,
so we're talking magazines, maybe some DVDs.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, was it child pornography?
That would have been mentioned, I'm sure.
You think?
I think so, yeah.
This is pretty standard porn.
Maybe she was
just an old guy trying to get his rocks off because his wife isn't doing it for him.
Right, and they are pretty Christian, right? Because she's a Sunday school teacher.
Yep. So
she's like, that is it.
He would go out to his man cave to watch porn. And so she started to feel like the devil was in the shed. So she filed.
It's in the details, actually.
Yeah. So she filed for divorce.
That's a good one.
And then withdrew the papers after he begged her to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
Then just 2 months later, she found out that he'd subscribed to a porn channel on TV. So she went out to the shed, shot him in the leg, and then claims to have been trying to fire off a warning shot that missed, hitting him in the head, killing him instantly.
Jeez. Well, she was just fed up. She was like, I'm not getting off, so you shouldn't either. No, because it's all the devil.
It's all
the devil.
You know, I feel terrible for her because she didn't mean to kill him.
You think?
I don't think so.
I'm going to guess she was in such a blind rage she didn't know what she was doing.
She was probably just really fed up and she's like, fine, I will wound you. And then just was like, brr.
Put the fear of God into him.
Yeah, but literally sent him to what they would say is his God.
Yeah.
If you believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah. If your partner partakes in something such as porn and you're not happy with it, there are counselors available to help you through that.
Well, no, because they're Christian and
they are watching more porn than you are happy with. Find out why you are not happy with it.
Yeah.
Talk to your partner.
Or go through with the divorce.
Right.
She had already filed. She withdrew the papers. She could have just refiled.
Well, she didn't really want a divorce. She was trying to scare him out of it. And this guy, just like any semi-healthy male, couldn't abstinate and just
Well, there's a,
unless he was like one of those people who was like really into porn, like way too much.
There's a pretty solid statistic out there that all men watch porn.
Pretty solid.
And any man who claims not to watch porn is a liar.
I wouldn't believe that.
I do.
But that I do think is a very teeny tiny little.
There's a few with active enough imaginations to not need a digital assist, but that's not many.
Right. That's when you read out of the Bible that he knew her over and over and over again. He really knew her. I mean, like, he knew her.
Song of Solomon. Something about there's something about milk and honey in her bosom.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Get the one. I don't get the other.
Maybe it tastes like honey.
All right.
Nope.
Representative Mike Simpson, Republican from Idaho's 2nd Congressional District.
Boo.
Well.
Hold on. He addressed a conference in Boise last week where he talked about how climate change is real and that actions need to be taken to address climate change and save the salmon.
Because salmon is one of God's greatest creatures.
And his grandfather would take him up to the mountains in Idaho and he'd see all of these salmon in all of the lakes of...
So then that means they're going to take the dams out?
He wants to.
That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, he's pushing for it. He's really just calling out his party, which
is overdue.
Which is overdue. You can be a bad politician overall and still do a few good things. And
right.
That, I think, is more of them need to call out the party and say you cannot blindly follow this denialism.
And he's doing it in Idaho terms. When you want to push, conservatives in Idaho can push environmental issues in the name of conservation and not lose the support of conservatives. And he wants to conserve fish because if you like fishing, and a lot of people in Idaho like fishing,
right,
you can't fish for fish that aren't there.
A lot of people like fishing. I love fishing.
And so he wants to get rid of the dams. He wants to increase renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see the redfish back at Redfish Lake.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to actually put to use some of the new technologies that are being developed for nuclear power at the Idaho National Laboratory.
Hmm. Which I know everybody in Idaho Falls would get behind.
Oh, yeah. And he also talked about the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory, which is working on large-scale battery storage.
Mm.
If you combine all three of those, there's actually a viable, non-polluting power source that isn't dams.
Big oil and big coal's not going to like any of that, though.
Nope. But big oil and big coal are losing footing in Idaho more and more. They just passed a law saying that if more than 50% of an area is... Because what they were doing is they're buying up all this land, the mineral rights, and then telling the other 49% of landowners that, well, we have the majority, so we can do whatever we want.
Right.
They shut that down and made that illegal. Pissing off a lot of oil and gas people because they had been buying up all these mineral rights.
Right.
But they were buying out like Eagle, which is like a suburb.
Yeah.
And so the people out there were like, no, we don't want you fracking 20 feet away from our school or something. For sure. So there's some steps, but Dustin's right. It's all in the name of conservation, and you have to really, do you want to be able to hunt deer? Do you want to be able to, you want to hunt a wolf? Well, you have to protect the wolf first.
Right.
And
which is but it works.
Right. And he had a pretty obvious statement that seems obvious to me here. In Boise, I think it works. If you don't believe climate change is real, go outside and look at a thermometer.
Yeah, for sure.
When it's over 100 degrees the entire month of August, that's not normal for here.
No.
Well, at least it didn't used to be.
Right. I was like, what? It's like always 110 through July and August now.
Yeah, now. Even 10 years ago, it wasn't.
I think the big thing, too, is the fires. The fires have been outrageous lately, which just has to do a lot with climate change and suppression and all that.
And all of these are big issues with a lot of different elements at play.
Right.
you know, if we want to save the fish, we need to fight climate change, because part of the issue is the dams. Another big issue for the salmon in the Northwest has been droughts causing water temperatures to be too high in the river, killing the fish. And if you look at the political interest in Idaho, it's agriculture first,
right.
Sportsmen second.
Yeah.
Oil and gas might be third.
Right.
And agriculture doesn't want to have to keep dumping water.
Yeah.
Giving up water for the fish. So we need to do something to help the fish.
For sure.
So that's encouraging.
It is encouraging.
And,
okay, I guess I won't say boo, but for the most part, he's a pretty awful person.
Oh, he is. I would definitely say I disagree with him at least 75% of the time.
Yeah.
And that's actually a lot for most people if you disagree with them,
right?
75%
exactly.
of the time.
We're not friends and I don't like you.
But
I disagree with you over half of the things that you say and stand by.
Yeah.
You're kind of a dick.
All right, so Rewire News did a amazingly thorough coverage of some recent changes happening in Waterloo, Iowa.
Woo!
Where 20-some years ago, a Catholic hospital
mm-hmm.
in town bought out the secular hospital that was in town. They worked out an agreement and an arrangement where they would have a condominium within the hospital that'd be left over that was not officially a part of the hospital and not owned by the hospital, where physicians could do things that the hospital, the Catholic hospital, wasn't officially okay with.
Do things.
So C-section in the main room, and then wheel over to this sin room to do the tubal ligation.
Sin room. Do they open it up on Halloween? That's funny.
Murder
house or sin house or whatever.
So in December, they did a press release that they were going to stop doing tubal ligations and vasectomies in the hospital.
Of course they did.
And now, without any announcement, what they've uncovered is that the bishop found out. And according to recent changes from the end of last year to the ethical and religious directives that govern all Catholic hospitals, if somebody becomes aware of, quote, immoral procedures
mm-hmm.
that are being done, they need to report it to the local bishop.
Got a tattletale.
Now,
yep.
This is despite the fact that
you gotta be a narc.
These health systems are all vertically integrated into massive multi-state corporations that are actually all directly report to the Vatican, not to the local bishop. The local bishop officially has no power,
mm-hmm.
but this gives the local bishop some ability to try to enforce doctrine and dogma when hospital administrators and physicians aren't following it. So also, while this was going on, the private OB group that was doing all the labor and delivery and all the women's health stuff in the hospital
right.
was purchased by the hospital. All mm-hmm. but one doctor quit rather than go through the transition.
Well, what are they going to transition to? Nothing. Because
they'll start their own group.
No, I know. But yeah. I'm saying, like,
you go from representing women's health to being a Catholic puppet.
Right.
No. That's all right.
Yeah, we'll especially pass. When the bishop's watching and they're forcing compliance.
When the Vatican will find out.
Find you.
And especially since
the Illuminati. They're going to murder you in their
in
your bed.
They put the naughty in Illuminati.
One of the doctors who'd been the head of obstetrics for the hospital, she was one of the ones who resigned from her position with the OB group.
She's like, thank you, but no thank you.
She was at the meeting before they were purchased where they were told by the bishop and hospital president that they would be what the new rules were going to be. No contraceptives. No sterilization procedures.
I bet she was pissed.
She was.
Yeah.
She was probably like, are we seriously, we're doing this in 2019? This is seriously happening right now? We're really doing this? We're doing this?
Yeah.
We're really doing this.
It sucks.
And how long do you think she was there, too? Yeah. She probably thought she was going to retire. I mean, if she's the head, then she's been there for a while. So,
and it's not like she's not an expert or anything.
Right, exactly. And so I bet you too, they were let, I bet you there was some ridiculous people who were just, what? She's resigning? I cannot believe.
No, they knew exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody knew.
We want you out, so we're going to make the rules.
I just want to know. I just want to think of some bumbling person who's just like, why would you want to leave? That's silly.
The one person who stayed.
Now, yeah, based on what based on what she told Rewire News, I think if anybody asked, she would have told them exactly. It is bad medicine to make a woman who is high risk for having an additional pregnancy, like somebody who's had multiple C-sections, to get pregnant again, especially within just a few years. That is very dangerous, potentially life-threatening, and it is very unethical if somebody's going to be getting a tubal ligation in the near future to close them up from one surgery, make them wait 6 weeks and do a second surgery.
Right.
That is bad medicine.
Yeah, of course. Well, Catholics don't care. That's not, if God will help you out. Don't worry about it, everybody. If you're not meant to have a kid, then God will make it so you don't have a kid. I mean, that... Right, yeah.
It's all
like,
part
that's
of God's
the whole
plan.
Thing.
Yep.
So, if you were meant to live through the second surgery, then you'll live. If not, then that wasn't in the cards. So, who the fuck cares? And we'll pray about it, and we'll all see each other in heaven.
So, Mercy One is the organization this hospital is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Mercy One Waterloo Medical Center. It's owned half by CHI, Catholic Health Initiatives, which apparently has changed its name to Covenant Health.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half owner is Trinity Health. These are very large organizations that control a lot of hospitals around the country.
They have way more power than they should.
Obviously, since this made the news, both are watching this closely. And I'm going to guess all of the bishops around their hospitals are also watching closely. So it doesn't matter if you're in Pendleton, Oregon, or Annapolis, Maryland, this could affect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Boise, Idaho.
Wah, wah, wah.
That one was better. I'll approve that one for the soundboard.
Wah, 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 wah.
No, see, I don't even know what that is.
So Catholics are pushing these changes, but it's not enough for some. And a coalition of conservative Catholic clergy and academics have accused Pope Francis of
academics
of heresy, citing what they call overly liberal positions on topics like religious diversity, homosexuality, and communion for divorced Catholics.
oh my gosh.
I love it. Like, this is
so,
like, we think this guy is basically dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Less than dirt. And then there's all these people who are like, he needs to be way worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is too liberal. You know, kind of, it's that whole, people thought he was great because of how liberal he was, but you and I, we see the long-term effects of what he does and how it's not getting any better. And it's just, I don't know, I guess it makes you appreciate that he is more quote-unquote liberal, but don't get fooled by that because nothing's changed. They're still hiding pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
We still have unequivocal amounts of wealth that is not being, you know, given up.
They're still trying to take over healthcare in the United States.
Yeah.
They are continuing to discourage every way possible people with HIV in Africa from using condoms.
Idiot.
Yeah, that's just...
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many bad things. There's, pedophilia. There's nun sex slaves.
Mm-hmm. And, not conservative enough. Letting divorced people get communion?
No! That is just horrible. They should be going to hell.
And also, letting people who... men who have sex with consenting adult men have communion. Because nobody had any... In the Catholic Church, those conservatives, they don't have any trouble with pedophile priests continuing to take communion.
Oh, right.
Oh, but let an openly gay man who's having sex with consenting adults... Nope. That's too far.
too far.
Well, I thought communion was a personal thing. Like, if you're a true believer, you wouldn't be taking communion anyway.
What?
Right?
It's...
Because, like, a divorced person, they know once they get a divorce that they're not supposed to take communion, so...
And if you're not supposed to, they do a speech.
It's like, if you're not supposed to.
But wait, can't you just be like, no, I'm re-virginizing myself. I don't know.
They do a speech.
Full of Bieber?
Yeah.
They do. No, for Catholics, you have to get an annulment from the.
No, I know.
From the Vatican.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
No, they do a speech at the start of communion to let you know that all Christians in good standing are eligible to take part. And if you aren't, this will be a curse upon you.
You can get a blessing, though.
Yeah, well.
You can walk up and get a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't put that wafer and wine in your mouth.
Yeah.
Now I totally want to.
Because he said I couldn't, I want it now.
Yeah, just spit it out. What happens when you spit out communion?
Ooh.
What kind of curse is that? Is that a double curse? Triple dog curse?
I don't know. Well, do you think they... Can you imagine, like, having the communion of the priest who, like, pissed and jizzed in the wine?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, right? And then later knowing, because he was your priest, and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't just get the blood of Christ. I got way more
body than
I expected.
Oh.
Right? Well, that was a fun note to end on.
Moving on.
Yeah. Pakistan is still trying to get rid of polio. It's one of the few countries where polio is still endemic. And they have had to suspend their vaccine drive as several vaccine workers have been killed in attacks.
Oh, because people don't believe in vaccines?
They believe it is a Western plot to sterilize their women.
Mm.
Thank you, CIA, for using vaccines to track down bin Laden.
Yeah. That was Obama's greatest gaffe. Gaffe? Is that the right word for that?
Yeah.
Yep.
He screwed up vaccinations for a lot of people because he used it to track down bin Laden.
Well, I mean, the U.S. government has sterilized people.
And they have done that.
But not with vaccines.
Yeah.
If there was a vaccine that could do that, it would not be a secret.
I'm sorry. If you're in a country and somebody who's been known to do those kind of things comes in and says, here, have a shot. It'll make you all better. Yeah. I would be a little suspect, too.
Right.
Of course, I wouldn't want my kid to die from something, so I would do it anyway. But I can understand some people not doing that.
The Satanic Temple, for our final story, is now a registered tax-exempt church.
Well, good on them. Might as
Come
well.
On, people.
They can keep their books secret now.
Oh.
Which is... Right? That's bullshit. But... Yeah. So is the entire tax-exempt clause.
Yeah,
it's all bullshit.
For any
religion.
That's
the whole point. It wasn't supposed to get this far. This joke was supposed to end.
But now they're part... Now they're part of it.
We played chicken. They played chicken with the government, and the government just... decided to keep on going. Yeah.
I mean, good, because then that just means that, you know, they're part of it, but also bad because
they should.
Yeah. It's religion and stuff.
It was like in high school, we wanted a P-flag, a pride club, and the principal said, no, I'd rather lose all funding for all extracurricular activities than let you have your pride club. So we called bull on him and said, okay. And then when... parents found out that the football club was going to lose their money.
Then they were like, wait, they were pissed, and they said,
just let them have their seven-member pride club. We don't care. Don't you dare touch the football team.
Yeah.
Because if we don't beat Skyline this year, then it was just stupid. But,
now,
you know, we called his bluff, and he had to give us our club.
Now, athletic clubs at schools is also bullshit, because that's a way to get around Title X rules, where you have to have an equal numbers of men's and women's teams.
Right. So if it's not an official team, but a club.
You can have clubs to get extra men's teams.
Yeah. Well, boo.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that.
We had volleyball.
Yeah, well,
a lot of schools will have women's volleyball and then a men's volleyball club.
Yeah. Oh, my school didn't have any men's volleyball.
Or just not have any at all.
No, I mean, they only had ladies volleyball.
Yeah.
Weren't they all just clubs?
There's official teams and then there's club teams.
Yeah, no, we had like we had the football team, we had the gymnastics team.
Oh, yeah, so they can compete, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You can go across state and compete.
Right. Walla Walla had actually, I think it was an official, my college had an official men's volleyball team that would play against like University of Oregon, Washington State club teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had men's football teams, they did not have men's volleyball teams. Walla Walla had a club hockey team that would play against actual official school hockey teams. They all still compete against each other. It doesn't change anything. It's just a way of skirting the rules.
Cool.
But anyway, so Satanic Temple, they are a church with all the legal rights and privileges of a church.
You know what's next? The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster or whatever.
That's basically the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is to make it more so outrageous that no religious person would stand by and say this is okay. And we blew past that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
we blew past a lot of things here. So
yeah, well, at least now I can get the satanic coloring book for Kylie, and it's tax deductible, right? Because that's a donation to a church.
It would have been tax deductible before, because it was a nonprofit before. Now it's a church, so the only thing that it changes, actually having that status as a church and not just a not-for-profit, non-church entity, is that clergy get special tax benefits. So Lucian Greaves will be able to get a parish exemption for his housing.
We're going to start seeing...
Can we get in on that?
If we could get set up as a church.
Let's not do that.
No, not worth it. And
you could be a satanic something parish.
Let's get all the money.
I'm just thinking housing's outrageous. Yeah. I would love to have a little help there.
Let's just talk about the fact that I feel like my allergies are kicking in and it's just getting worse and worse as we keep talking.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'm not feeling very great. So
we are almost done. Let's go ahead and move on to feedback. The first couple are about the YouTube live stream, not covering all of the comments that were left about the live stream, but just a few generally about it, not the specifics. So from Randy via YouTube, yay, got tied up with my son on Saturday. Y'all are the best. Congrats. Thank you, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Watching us?
I know. No, I'm confused.
Watch. Oh, you said he got tied up with his son.
He got tied up Saturday, so he watched Sunday.
Oh,
not
is that
live.
What that
the
means?
Whole thing, not live. Yeah.
Oh.
He commented all the way through. So all day that Sunday, I was getting notifications that he was leaving comments.
Okay. Don't tell me about any negative comments. I don't want to know.
There weren't any.
Oh, good. We've got nice people who watch us.
Yeah, we do.
And from Jazz Cross via YouTube, missed the live stream due to homelessness, but darn glad I could watch here. And hi, Randy.
Oh no!
Oh,
that's sad.
Yeah. I know, that's really sad. Like, where did you watch? Did you watch at a friend's house? Oh, well, I hope.
Friend's house.
Don't
or
you
library,
have other
or...
things you should be worried about than watching a live stream? Obviously, you do because you missed it. But yeah.
I mean, thanks for watching it, and I hope it brightened your day.
Yeah.
I hope it brightened many people's day because we were being ridiculous, and it was fun to see the progression of Dustin get drunk. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time, and I enjoyed it. And then we had a break. And my break wasn't much of a break because I'm exhausted from my vacation.
That happens.
And I got sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from Steve from Colorado via email, just listening to episode 300 on iTunes, and I thought Dustin's Egyptian joke was really good.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on.
Suck up.
I know.
Thought I'd pass along a joke I heard. Why do giraffes have such long necks? Because their head is so far away from their body.
All right. I like that one.
Anyway,
okay, that's good.
You all are awesome. I love the podcast. Keep up the hard work.
Send
and I'll
more
donate
jokes.
When I'm financially able.
Yay. Thank you. I feel like we're coming off a break where we're not feeling good. So we're not all jazzy.
Yeah. Jazz hands.
Woo. We're trying though.
We need some mint juleps up in here.
This time I'm doing great.
Yeah, good,
unlike,
Dustin.
Unlike episode 299 when I had pneumonia and we were all kind of off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll still do. Let's still
Kylie was great this time.
Yes, mm-hmm. she was. I think. Oh, she. Now that you said it,
she wants to take her shirt off.
We don't have any new patrons, but mm-hmm. Freethinker 215 did increase his patronage by 6 cents.
Wow! Thank you. I mean, every little bit counts. Uh-huh. So.
And we did get the two donations. The very nice for supporting our upgrades. Thank you, Danielle, and thank you, Vinny from New York.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can go to atheistnomads.com/donate to find out all the ways how.
Yes. Right at the end. This is perfect.
And if you want to leave us some feedback, contact atheistnomads.com or SpeakPipe link, atheistnomads.com/SpeakPipe will also work if you want to leave us audio feedback.
Yeah.
Or just record something on your phone or computer and email it to us. That also works as well. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren. If you're in Boise on the 19th of May, Edge at 7:30, we're doing another open mic. Jinx Jenkins is going to be the featured comedian, so that's exciting. And then I'll just start, since it's May, on June 22nd. Oh, shit. On, look at me. I'm not prepared. June 22nd. That is a Saturday. I'm doing a backyard benefit for Pride Foundation, which is a LGBTQ foundation to help those LGBTQ with like grants and scholarships.
Nice.
To go to school.
You're doing that right up at the microphone.
No, it's not like I'm doing it right up here. I'm doing it down here.
Away
that's
from the capsule.
Away from it.
Okay.
I'm for the listeners at home, Lauren is chastising me for not having a drink next to the microphone.
No.
But could potentially, which I know is not because it's not next to the microphone. She is not having it today. I could tell you right now, no one's having it today. This is it. But the backyard benefit, it does go to a good cause. It's going to be a $10 ticket. It's going to be fun too, because when you buy the ticket, then you get the address. If you don't buy a ticket, then you do not get the address. It's really in the backyard of somebody's house.
Nice.
So it'll be fun.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.